In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
This is the I Spy Radio Show.
You and I have a rendezvous with destiny.
Keeping an eye on big government.
We the people tell the government what to do. It doesn't tell us.
The trouble with our liberal friends is not that they're ignorant. It's just that they know so much that isn't so.
And now, here is your host, Mark Anderson.
There's no better cure for socialism than actually living under socialism. I don't mean getting a taste of socialism, like with the constant welfare and Obamacare. I mean actually living under socialism, where the state uses the power of government to go after its political opponents, where, working with socialist media, the state gets to decide who has free speech and what you're allowed to discuss. And if you disagree, you're the one spreading disinformation. Where the state gets to tell you you're a racist, and you must agree. You must accept it as fact that you are indeed a racist, because you're white. But isn't that racist to call me a racist based on the color of my skin? That you're making broad assumptions about an entire race? Isn't that the definition of racism? That kind of talk, that kind of thinking, is not allowed, and you're dangerous. So we will tell your kids, which you pay us to educate, that their parents are racist, and so are they. Why? Because of the color of their skin, of course. So are you liking socialism? Just wait for full communism, which is on its way. Unless voters all across the states reject socialism, like what we saw happen in Virginia, where progressive socialists and Democrats lost all three statewide races, governor, lieutenant governor, and state attorney general. And Republicans retook control of the House. It's a start, but there is a long way to go because the federal and state governments are controlled right now, not by those who are elected, but the bureaucratic state, as we discussed with constitutional attorney Jonathan Emord. And there are tens of thousands of confirmed socialists and communists holding those positions of power. Not to mention hundreds of judges who all need to be gotten rid of, who saw government power in the forms of executive orders as higher than state constitutions and even higher than the Constitution, which is how governors like Governor Kate Brownshirt was able to shut down churches. That's the highest goal of socialism, to destroy your faith in anything other than the bureaucratic state. Religious freedom is under attack right now, despite America being founded to protect religious freedom. As long as you believe in God and God-given rights, you are an enemy of leftist ideology in all of its forms, socialism, Marxism, communism, because you must have faith in government, that government will cure all your problems, that all things good and proper come from government. But are we seeing people waking up? It's hard not to wake up when it's thrown in your face the way progressives have gone about this, actually calling on the FBI to go after parents who dared speak up at board meetings and objected to being called racist, targeting them as domestic terrorists. The best way to cure socialism is to experience living under it. Well, we've had our fill. Now it's time to retake and restore a constitutional government. Defending faith is defending freedom, and I believe we're seeing just the first ripples. To talk about all that, I'd like to welcome Donna Jackson to the show. She is the Director of Membership Development for Project 21. You might know her as a regular panelist on One American News. Donna, it's great to talk to you.
It's great to have me. Thank you so much.
Sure. So aside from what's in your bio there online, tell us what you're passionate about. How did you get connected with Project 21?
Well, I'm passionate about religious liberties. I have a background I went to graduate school and seminary school. I was angry at seeing how a lot of our rights are being taken away, and I really feel like the government has waged a war on religious liberties. And so I just thought that it was important for me to speak up. Now, I grew up from 5 years up. From 5 years up, thinking that the only thing I would do is be a minister. And that was the only direction that I had for my life. And I did go to ministry school, but I did have an encounter where a minister talked to me, and he said that God also gives the gift of administration. So I started working in accounting and finance and realized that it's not just about our spirit lives in the inside, but also our souls on this earth matter too.
Yes.
And so I was able to work in the business realm where I can apply those same Christian values and actually help a lot of people economically, because it says God gives us the power to get well. And so he, you know, really elevated me in that area. So I was able to, I worked in international accounting, tax, finance, worked in auditing, and then was finally a vice president and controller of the Export-Import Bank of the United States.
You know, the world would probably be very different if more Christians followed that path into accounting.
Yes, because they're strong spiritually, but they, you know, on the other, and when it comes to the soul realm, you know, they're weak and still. And so I like to make sure we have a balance.
Good, good. So what brought you to our attention was we wanted to have you on to talk about this case, Joseph Kennedy versus Bremerton School District. And it's about a high school football coach who prayed alone on the field after games, after football games. And he was fired by the school district. And the case is now before the Supreme Court after the Ninth Circuit Court ruled against the coach. Project 21 was a signatory on an amici curiae. An amici curiae, yeah. Sign me up for remedial Latin class. But anyway, it's basically a friends of the court brief in support of the coach. So what can you tell us about this case and why Project 21 got involved?
Well, we got involved because, of course, you know, there's this Marxist socialist move to get Christianity out of every aspect of our public life.
Yes, yes.
So they particularly targeted this coach because they don't want any expressions of Christianity in our society. So, you know, they don't mind if you have a Satan shirt or if you worship the sun, but you can't do anything that might remotely allow people to believe that there's a higher power besides our government. So when we saw this, we knew we had to step in. He was basically kneeling on the side of a football field in his own personal expression and praying. He didn't ask individuals to come and join. He didn't pray out loud for people to draw attention to himself. But he was honoring God. It was a self-expression. But they said, this lower court said that that he was actually promoting Christianity, and because he was a public figure, then it was he blurred the line between church separation of church and state.
Well, I just think that
we couldn't stand for that.
Yeah, I just think that would have a chilling impact on public officials. I mean, we'll talk about that more in the next segment there. But in an article on Project 21's website discussing you guys' involvement, you said, "The food restrictions of Jews and Muslims are based on religious principles. Does this mean a Muslim public school teacher can be fired for declining pork at a school event?" And I think that's an excellent point. And I think that's what the Ninth Circuit Court missed here, is that a person's religion is who they are. It's part of them. And shouldn't we, as a society founded on Judeo-Christian principles, want people of faith in the halls of government, not to mention on court benches?
We absolutely should. I mean, it's so many intricate parts of our lives that are influenced by our spirituality and our faith in God. And you really can't tell the difference until you sit down and examine those. You know, Muslims, Jews, all of their meal requirements are based upon their faith. It, you know, it brings them closer to God. They believe in that it's purity. And there's a lot of things that we do as Christians that are also innate to our spirituality. But sitting there trying to divide that would actually dehumanize us. And, you know, this country was founded on Christian faith. We say, "In God we trust." We have those banners. We have that on our some of our money, some other aspects. We pray before we have meals. And then to say that somehow this is illegal and that we shouldn't be allowed to do that is really the state overreaching.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, when they talked about, you know, freedom, when they provided freedom of religion in the Constitution, it wasn't to protect the state from the people. It was to protect the people from the state.
Absolutely right.
So that they can be free to worship as they want to without the interference of the government.
And it wasn't conditional either. Let's go ahead and take a break there. Coming up, more with Donna Jackson with Project 21 and their involvement with a case against the coach who prayed. Stay with us. And welcome back. We're talking today to Donna Jackson. She is the Director of Membership Development for Project 21. Donna, though, to get back to where you guys have filed the Friends of the Court brief there, it's Coach Kennedy versus Bremerton School Board, and it's before the Supreme Court right now. But, you know, it's just, I look at that, and I think cases like Coach Kennedy, they're chilling, which, of course, I think these are designed to be. Our government is set up to protect individual rights of expression and religion, but here you have a case where one branch of government, the courts, are actively attacking religion. I mean, that's a complete 180 from how our country was founded. So why does it always seem like we're constantly defending religious rights rather than attacking those who would take those rights away from us? Is it time to go on the offensive?
It is time for us to go on offensive. And I'll tell you, a lot of this is being pushed by a lot of left liberal policies that want to actually take Christianity out of American society.
Yes.
So we're the only ones that's being targeted. You can worship anything you want. You can worship the sun, climate change, whatever it is, and they have no problem. But Christianity is the one that they're specifically targeting. And that's because people who are Christian have a higher moral responsibility, and they have this. If they have to decide between following the government and following God, they're going to follow God if that choice is put before them. But if they can get you to a place where the government is your God, then they can do whatever they want. They can micromanage, they can take away your rights. And so that's why you see this, because of this moral, really this moral fervor that Christians have about making sure that there's not the injustices you hear talking, but real justice. I mean, if you look, Martin Luther King, if you look at Martin Luther King, if you look at Harriet Tubman, look at any of the movements that happened, the abolitionists, it was all instigated by their inspiration and the relationship they had with God in their Christian, deep Christian faith. And that's what they don't like, because they know that Christians, they'll always make the right choice, and that's going with what God says.
Mm. It's funny that you went that way, because that was going to be one of my next questions, is that, you know, what is it about religion that the left finds so offensive? I mean, that's part of the Marxist communist doctrine, that there is no God. It's based on atheism, and yet they get so upset when they see religion being practiced. I mean, just be content in the fact that you're just so much smarter than the rest of us, and that praying is just some silly superstition. It's a bit like driving along, passing an Amish buggy, and becoming enraged that they're not driving the latest all-electric car. I mean, it really does say, I think, that deep down they know that God is there.
They do. And, you know, socialism doesn't like to compete with God. That's the thing. Socialism is itself a religion, and they want everybody to practice that religion.
And only that religion,
because they want to micromanage and control your life. They don't want you to have a choice. They want to make choices for you. And that's the thing. They don't think that you should have free will or freedom. Mm. They think they should dictate how your life can go, what you should choose. And that's why you see all of these steps being taken to take away all of your freedom, not just freedom of religion. Freedom of speech is being censored. A lot of freedoms are being taken away right now. If you look at the critical race theory, that's going on right now. Critical race theory says that white people are born evil. They're irredeemable. All of the laws and institutions are only set up to further more racism, and that the family is how that's passed along. Now, everybody, on just looking at the point, you go, well, that's really bad morally. But look what they're doing. If you're born evil and you're irredeemable, that means salvation is a lie. Because the thing about spiritual and Christianity is the foundation is redemption. If you're irredeemable, there is no redemption. If there's no redemption, that means there's no salvation and there's no God. And that's why they're pushing critical race theory, because that breaks down all of the foundation of religion, because it's always about redemption. It's always about our ability to choose. Even God said, I put life before you, life and death. Choose life.
Yeah.
So they want to destroy Christianity and religion by pushing critical race theory that says, no matter what you do, and every institution you have is racist, that means there's no God. And that's why they're pushing that.
Oh, absolutely. Getting back to this court case for a moment, I think that this could be, it could be a dual blow to religious freedom. First, it would not only stop public officials from any kind of expression about their faith, but second, I think much more damning is that it could discourage people of faith from seeking public office. I mean, if they're just going to get hounded and harassed, why would you get into office?
Well, absolutely. And it's having, you know, the spread of the attacks that you're getting, critical race theory, cases like this one, are already having an effect on the church, a negative effect on the church. The number of people that are leaving the church is astonishing right now. So the church actually is going backwards right now. And that's why it's so important for people like you, people like me, to get that message and stand up. And, you know, I never would have thought that I would have been, the pulpit would have been a pulpit of life instead of a regular pulpit in a cathedral somewhere. But now the message that I'm speaking is to every individual that doesn't realize that their rights are being trampled, that you're trying to separate you from God and your faith.
Absolutely.
And so now we have to make sure that people understand when they embrace these kind of radical ideals, that radical ideal is not just a nice ideal, but it's trying to replace the God that is real.
Yes, absolutely. I'd like to pick that up in the next segment here. Project 21, they are out there engaging the black community, inspiring them to get involved, and Tuesday's results demonstrate they're being effective. If you'd like to find out more about them, head to their parent organization, nationalcenter.org, and look for Project 21 under the Programs tab at the top. And to make it really easy on you, just head to iSpyRadio.com, and we'll link that up on today's show page. Stay with us. More with Donna Jackson. You might know her as a regular panelist on One American News. Donna Jackson is our guest today. She's the Director of Membership Development for Project 21. And Donna, you know, we were talking so much in the last couple segments there about religion and faith. And as we said previously, you had originally sought a role in the church that you're a seminary graduate. And, you know, looking at Tuesday's election results, and I have often said that we won't see a renewal in America until we see a revival in the churches. And I mention that because I was truly stunned to see Youngkin's victory speech and where he was openly praising and thanking God, saying to his supporters that this campaign began with God, we're going to continue with God, even having a prayer from the podium before his speech. Do you think that we're beginning to see that Christian revival that we need in American politics, that churches and Christians are suddenly refusing to be silent anymore?
I absolutely do. I think that we were pushed to a brink where people have to acknowledge their faith. Because what we've seen over the last 4 or 5 years has been nothing but persecution against people of faith. And I think that the warriors are just going to stand up and realize, you know, I'm here because God said I'm supposed to be here. And if you have a problem with me, I'll pray that God helps you with your struggles, but I'm not going to leave. And I think that that's what we're seeing right now. Everyone, it's amazing. Every person that I go and recruit says the same thing to me. They go, you know, I was just praying and asking God, how can I get this message out? Their passion is to help the community, but it's coming from a heart of God. And I'm seeing it everywhere. I mean, I don't have to say anything. They say it. And they have been beat down. I mean, when I recruit people, they've lost all their friends. Some of their family members have turned on them. They're alone. But you know what? They're standing strong in God and in faith. And I think that the persecution that they've been watching, I think that the attack that's been happening against the church is what's giving them the courage to say, okay, I'm going to stand for you. It's astonishing.
Yeah.
I'm amazed.
Yeah, I'm getting goosebumps when you're talking
them.
There. Yeah. I think it's very telling.
Really,
I think it's very telling that the first thing the political left did when they openly seized power under COVID was to shut down churches, and I think that just says it all. In your bio, it says that you're a firm believer in free markets and entrepreneurship rather than government as a means of lifting people out of poverty, and that is so right on. We are right there with you. And again, getting back to the Tuesday elections, Winsome Sears, a conservative Republican who was elected Tuesday as Virginia's first black woman lieutenant governor. In fact, she was also the first woman of color to win any statewide election in Virginia. And that's like 400 years worth of elections. She said something very similar to what you said in her victory speech, addressing both the failures of government and of its education programs. She said that kids need to have marketable skills which will create generational wealth. Do you think people, particularly in the black communities, are finally getting it that government is not the answer?
I think that they're getting it. They're getting it slow, but they're getting it. That's the thing. You know, they promised a lot and they produce little. You know, the government says, come, I'll give you this free money, I'll do this, but they only incentivize poverty. But I think that they realize that the only way that they're going to produce is that if they embrace capitalism and if they realize that they need to create industry, they need to become homeowners, they need to create wealth. And instead of voting by personality, they need to vote based upon the policies. It's not about somebody giving you something. It's just about having an environment, a free market environment, where anyone who wants to can choose their own path. And I think that the great thing about her is God is raising up people like that, people can say, oh, I can do that. Because I think that the message that the black community has been hearing for a long time is, all of these people are evil. The only reason why they made wealth is because they preyed on somebody. So trust me and I'll help you. I'll be this government warrior. I'll send you a check and don't have to worry about anything. But what they never did was create a pathway so that people can get wealth. It was just incentivizing poverty. It was incentivizing single parent households and destroying the black community. And I think that they're seeing that hard work is what will make us prosper.
You know, to hear you talk, it almost sounds like at some point there's going to be an act of rebellion against these leftist policies.
Oh, I think that people are already waking up. I mean, look, we have all of the liberals are controlling every position in our capital right now. And what people are saying is they are hurting. So these policies sound great as a talking point, but when they're put in action, they have devastating effects.
Yes.
I mean, you know, people are paying more for gas. They're paying more for food. They're having empty shelves. Their electricity bills are going up. You know, they have high crime right now. You know, we're in the United States, and there's communities that feel worse than third world countries because of the policies that are destructive. But, you know, people are realizing that, wait a minute, they're creating these policies on purpose to create poverty. Mm-hmm. They're not trying to get rid of it. They're trying to create more of it.
That's
and
right.
I think that the African-American community is starting to look and realize, wait a minute, they should embrace, it's God that gives us the power to get wealth, not man.
That's right. Well,
so I think they're going to.
Yes. And there's just no money, tax money to be raised off of solved problems, only ongoing ones. Donna Jackson, I want to thank you so much for your time today.
Oh, thank you. And I just hope that people realize that God is always number one.
Yes, absolutely.
Always.
Absolutely. I'd like to welcome back James Hurston to the show. James is perhaps best known for his best-selling book, Tales from the Left Coast, that exposed the insanity inside Hollywood. You can find his latest articles, though, on jameshurston.com. We'll link that up on iSpyRadio.com as well. And James, it's great to talk to you again.
Great to be with you, Mark.
So I asked our previous guest, and I'd like to ask you this before we get going here. I have often said that we won't see a renewal in America until we see a revival in the churches. And I don't know if you saw it, but in Youngkin's victory speech on Tuesday night, there was a prayer from the podium before his speech even started. And in his speech, he was openly praising and thanking God and saying to his supporters that this whole campaign began with God and that it was going to continue with God. Do you think that we're beginning to see Christian revival that's going to bring a badly needed renewal in American politics?
I saw that speech, and I assume that man was a pastor, and it was beautiful, and
yes,
it was wonderful to see, and I do agree that revival is necessary, because what we're dealing with in the United States and all over the world is way beyond anything political, anything governmental, and even the language that we see in the news and the stories. This is a spiritual battle. This is truly a battle between good and evil.
Yes.
And in the themes that have emerged, the political themes, if you look at the general gist of the themes, the people that are tearing down statues, tearing down ideas, censoring people, attempting to control the narrative, are seeking an anti-family, anti-God, anti-freedom world. And all of those things run counter to our Judeo-Christian tradition. And we know that in the scripture, very clearly, that the scripture says, those who are called by the name of God, if they will humble themselves, and of course, humility is a prerequisite to prayer and a prerequisite to connection with God. If they will humble themselves and pray and seek God, the scripture says, seek my face, seek God and turn away from sin, turn away from wickedness, turn away from evil. And that's the definition of repentance. Then the scripture says, I will hear from heaven, I will forgive them, and I will heal their land. So those of us that believe that the Bible is the word of God, as I do, know that those words mean what they say, mm-hmm. and that it is a prerequisite, and that part of what's happening may well be judgmental. Clearly, America has strayed deeply. Just the tens of millions of abortions that have taken place in this country alone are enough to make our country extremely culpable. But there's so many other things. And of course, you know, we used to, I remember being on television shows years ago, particularly I just remember Bill Maher. I was a regular on his show, Politically Incorrect, for years, and he would always get, you know, if I mentioned the term slippery slope, he would say, oh, there's no slippery slope. There's no such thing. And that, and boy, have we learned the slope is very slippery, and we have slipped down it. And particularly for someone like me that works in the world of entertainment media, to see the levels of pure darkness and evil that the entertainment media has basically skulked into. It is stuff that should be just regulated by parents, not allowed for kids to see. And that's not even including, you know, the political content. I'm just talking about just the darkness and the depravity of the all types of entertainment, of video games, films, television, music, that impressionable young children, you know, are being fed. And so it, to me, that's, that slope is so slippery. And that's why revival, going back to your original question, revival is key. And we've seen it historically. We see it in biblical history, but we've seen it throughout history. And America itself is a miraculous place. De Tocqueville said, America's great because America's good. I would add to that, any goodness that America had was because God was a part and parcel of our founding, our culture, our education, and the anti-God crowd has, you know, removed removed that from our culture. And so this, and we, and what we saw with this these elections, we're grateful to God. This is a miracle.
Oh yes,
with, you know, that what we're seeing, a series of miracles. A guy in New Jersey, a lot of people don't realize under the New Jersey system, the most powerful man in New Jersey is the Senate leader, who was a shoo-in. Nobody cared who ran against him. Some truck driver who spent $153 on his campaign won.
Yeah, I know.
That's a miracle.
That, yeah, that was just crazy.
In Buffalo, New York, the hand-picked candidate, who a self-avowed socialist, had no one running against her. Zero. And there was some upstart who started a write-in campaign and won.
Wow.
The upstart with no money, no backing, nothing, not even the person's name on the ballot, won. That's a miracle.
Oh,
so we've seen a series of miracles.
Oh, absolutely.
It is. And there's a lot of, you know, people had no choice with what had occurred over the last year and a half. Anecdotally, I'm sure you've had this, but people, they almost felt like they were cornered.
Yes.
And they said, you know, maybe this is a good time for me to get right with God. Maybe this is a time where if I didn't go to church, I will attend church. Maybe this is a time where I didn't pray, I'm going to. Or maybe it's a time where I didn't read the Bible, I'm going to read the Bible. I know there's been a revival. I live in Southern California, but thankfully I live in a away from the terrible scourge of San Francisco and Los Angeles, so I live in Orange County. But I know anecdotally that people got more serious about their faith, their families, especially during the lockdown.
Well, that is,
a revival.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And that is just so encouraging to hear. Could there be a revival of sorts happening in Hollywood? We'll talk about that with James Herson coming up next. And welcome back. We're talking today to James Herson. James is perhaps best known for his best-selling book, Talisman Left Coast, that expose the insanity going on inside Hollywood. Although, James, in that last segment there, going out of that, you were talking about how you were seeing a bit of a real revival there in Southern California. And you've got three really interesting articles up on jamesherson.com. And is it possible that we could be seeing some a revival of sorts in Hollywood as well?
Well, yeah, there is. I mean, you know, the vast majority of Hollywood is completely caught up in, for lack of a better term, their own religion, wokeism. You know, they're completely enamored with it. But the people that have lived by faith and have a seed of faith, have a background in faith, same as the general public, I think they're changing their priorities. They're able to see clearly that things that they never thought could possibly happen in the world are happening. And some of them, of course, believe that because they know the prophecies, sections of the Bible, they start feeling, for also lack of a better term, end timey. You know, it's like, what is going on in the world?
Yeah.
And, all of the predictions that are in the Bible of the end times, all of the trend lines are appearing before our eyes. So, yeah, I do think that there are people in the entertainment business who have given their lives to Christ, and they're being more open about it. And I have had a series of articles just because, but that's my feeling, the same as what you're premising the show on, is that priorities have to shift toward prayer and revival and fasting and all of the things that historically a nation has done in order to seek God's help. That doesn't mean that we cower in the corner and we don't do our duties as citizens and we don't act in accordance with our consciences when we're faced with these kinds of choices, particularly like right now, when in violation of human rights laws internationally for decades, there seems to be an attempt to force medicine, coerce medicine without informed consent down the throats of large populations of people. That runs counter to common sense, especially since it's experimental and it's not fully approved stuff. But and it also runs counter to biblical principles, and so that's using our conscience and listening to God's still small voice.
Absolutely. Let's talk about some of those terrific articles on your website, all having to do with faith. And let's start with some rather shocking news for fans of Toy Story. Tim Allen will no longer be Buzz Lightyear's voice. I mean, which is odd because the spinoff series that Disney is creating is specifically focused on the origins of the Buzz Lightyear character. So what happened here and why is he fired?
Well, we don't know officially the reason. He wasn't fired. They just passed him over. So to give the background, Tim Allen has done there's been four films in the Toy Story franchise. Of course, the first one was one of the most successful films, I think, in history. Certainly one of the most successful animated films. This is a Pixar division of Disney. And so what they decided to do, and this is typical of Hollywood now, they're big on reboots and sequels and remakes. They're very insecure, the executive class there, so that they think, well, if we do a Toy Story spinoff, we'll get some of the audience, which is true, of course. So they picked the character of Buzz Lightyear, and they in the fictional world of Toy Story, the Buzz Lightyear toy was inspired by a real astronaut in the animated world named Buzz Lightyear. A lot of people wonder if it's Buzz Aldrin, but in any case, instead of having Tim Allen do the voice, they picked this Captain America actor, Chris Evans. And so a lot of people were just shocked at it. And the reason is because of business, because of solid business decisions. In other words, if you have a franchise and a brand that was established with this well-recognized voice, I mean, Tim Allen's voice was on two successful sitcoms, Home Improvement and Last Man Standing, and everybody knows him. He's a very likable person. And then on top of it, he was in the Santa Claus movies and in a bunch of other films as well. So he's like one of the biggest stars in the world.
Yeah.
And he established the character Buzz Lightyear with that voice. So it doesn't make sense from a business perspective. But the important thing, Mark, is we've seen this story before.
Yes.
And I mentioned Last Man Standing. Last Man Standing went for six seasons. It was the most popular sitcom at the time. It was on a real tough time slot on Friday night. And all of a sudden, out of the blue, ABC canceled him.
Yeah, and it's because he was an outspoken conservative and somebody that is not
right.
shy of sharing his faith, and he's gone.
Right.
Let's go and take a break there. I'm going to continue that after this. More with James Herson, and you can find all of his great articles about jamesherson.com. That's James, H-I-R-S-E-N.com, and we'll link that up on iSpyRadio.com as well. Stay with us. And welcome back. We're talking with James Herson, a best-selling author of Tales from the Left Coast, and you can find his latest articles about faith and film at jamesherson.com. And James, in that last segment there, we're talking about Tim Allen being fired. And, you know, you see these successful shows getting canceled inexplicably, acting gigs getting taken away. Can you think of any left-of-center actors who have had this happen to them?
No. The answer is no, unless... You know, there are left-of-center people who have been let go, or if you say, or have been a pariah in the entertainment industry because of the Me Too movement. So that's the only exception. But there's nothing like this. And look, this is the same company. Okay, so Disney owns Pixar. They pass up Tim Allen. And by the way, the guy they picked for the voice for Buzz Lightyear, Chris Evans, happens to be a solid member of the Wokerati, and he is always there spouting the lunacy of the far, far left. And and so that raises suspicion. But then, as I mentioned, Disney, ABC, did this to Tim Allen before with Last Man Standing, a very successful sitcom. It'd been on for six seasons. It was in a tough time slot. There was absolutely no business reason. They all of a sudden canceled, and they never came up with an explanation. One of their executives said, well, we had some difficulty fitting him in our schedule, fitting Last Man Standing into the schedule. It was lunacy.
Yeah.
It was crazy. And so you're left with, yeah, this is bias. And in Last Man Standing, Tim Allen played a conservative man living in a house with three daughters and a liberal wife, which, by the way, is reportedly Tim Allen's real life because he has three daughters. I don't know if his wife is liberal, but a lot of the show, also a part of it was he was preserving his toxic masculinity in the face of femininity. I dare say the show couldn't be on today. But we also remember that ABC Disney was the same network that basically gave capital punishment, the capital punishment equivalent of the entertainment business, to Roseanne Barr over a single tweet that was a joke that never fit. You know, the punishment did not fit the crime. And both Roseanne Barr and Tim Allen are guilty of the unforgivable sin in Hollywood.
Yeah.
They both said kind words and failed to oppose Donald Trump.
Yeah.
You know, that's As a matter of fact, I think Tim Allen one time, I mean, his support wasn't all that super strong, but he said he just loved the fact that Trump ticked off, got all these lefties angry. He loved it.
Yeah.
So that's why he said he supported him.
Yeah.
But
speaking of Trump, he's got the Trump Media Technology Group that is now forming. And they said that in addition to a social media platform, that they will be producing entertainment that is not Hollywood woke. Are you hearing any rumors or maybe have any insights about what they may be focusing on?
Well, I know there's I don't know specifically, but I know that Trump has raised, I've heard as much as $2 billion on this enterprise. This is not going to be a small enterprise. Mm-hmm. There's a lot that can be done with the amount of money he's raised, you know, with this special acquisition entity that he had. And I think knowing Trump, he knows how in business and politics, he had some problems because he was new to it. But in business, he really knows how to put together teams. And so there's this massive vacuum.
Yes, there is.
You know, there is. I mean, and people now, you know, the big upcoming entertainment is streaming. Well, Netflix is a vast wasteland. It is filled with real trash and garbage. And the Netflix company does not deserve our support.
No.
They're another one of these woke companies. So there's a company called PureFlix.
Yes.
That is competing. Mm-hmm. And PureFlix does, family-friendly, godly stuff.
Yes.
I know that's where he knows where the
that's the vacuum.
The vacuum is. And
how nice would it be to go to a film and not have your country or your faith insulted? I mean, that would be awfully nice to see that. James, unfortunately, we're up against the clock. I want to thank you so much for your time today. This has been great.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me on. God bless you.
Tuesday, there was just overwhelming loss after loss for progressive Democrats at all levels. In Egg Harbor Township, New Jersey, a 19-year-old ran for a school board against one of the incumbent school board members who had ruined his senior year last year and won by 17 points. Americans accept that there needs to be governance, but they don't want to be ruled. Up until election night, Democrats were still under the impression that being elected makes them kings and queens. One of James's articles that we didn't get to was about actress Candace Cameron Bure and her struggles to keep her faith. She found herself praying a prayer that still directs her faith walk. She said, "That day when literally the light bulb went off in my head, I prayed, God, please do not let this fire ever go out from under me." I think we all need that. I think every American patriot needs to pray that prayer. Because as we say every week, the best information does you no good if you don't use it. Reagan, what do you think?
I do not believe in a fate that will fall on us no matter what we do. I do believe in a fate that will fall on us if we do nothing.
It's more than a show. It's self-defense. The I Spy Radio Show.